I thought that was appropriate since you all know Old Navy is driving us crazy with these ads. God.
I'm so glad I don't watch TV.
Oh, you'll see them online. I'm unable to avoid them.
No, Old Navy, I swear to God. YouTube, me and you, gonna go round and round. I'm not a fan of these new commercials.
Everybody's griping about that.
I do not want to have to wait 2 minutes through a commercial to watch a 45-second clip.
I was fine with the little Google ad at the bottom. You know, it's just slightly obtrusive, but when they started making me wait, I am trying to start a revolution here, and I need my Beyonce.
Exactly. You know, at least Blog Talk, it has the commercial that pops up over the little window when you want to listen sometimes. You can exit out of that. As soon as it starts, you can exit. You don't have to listen.
We prefer that you didn't, but you can.
Oh, Blog Talk, I love you.
We prefer that you didn't exit out of that little ad. Just go ahead and listen to it. It's only one, but you can if you so chose to.
If you want to stick around, please listen to that. That helps us stick around. That helps pay.
Yeah,
for me, I am.
Oh, jeez. Welcome. Wait a minute. What day is it? It's Tuesday.
Tuesday all day long. It's going to be one of those days, woman, already. You have no idea. Well, you have an idea. I've already told you. It's going to be one of those days.
It is one of those days. I was up last night building a lovely vampire bar that I was supposed to put together weeks ago, and I changed my mind and said I wasn't going to do it. Then I changed my mind again, and I was having a good time last night putting together.
She changes her mind. Imagine that.
Well, at least I already had the stuff. I had to think about it. I had to buy everything, but I was having a good time. I love me some level design. Oh, so
I'm so glad you were having fun. I was,
sleeping.
No, I was awake during part of that. Nah, I was awake.
Were you? Because I thought I was talking to you and I saw Ginger has gone offline. I was like, no, it's my Ginger's gone.
Ginger did go offline for a bit. Ginger was like, real life, gotta go. All right. So y'all guys came from the news. And I don't even know if we've introduced ourselves yet.
Oh, Lunch with Ginger and Corey. I'm Corey.
And I am Ginger.
And we are on caffeine, anyway.
Not enough yet, apparently. I need more. Chocolate.
I got some juicy stuff. Go ahead, girl. I got to find something juicy. And you better not have my story either. That's all I got to say.
Don't cut me. All right. Well, I'm going to start out with the black screen of death story. Oh, yes. What was it? Sunday was the release of the new Nintendo 3DS here in the U.S. Everybody was out getting one, all this fun stuff. So it's been 2 days. We haven't heard too many rumbles, except for, this morning. I'm pulling the story from the tech section on Yahoo. They pulled it from PC World. Looks like there is a phenomenon with the Nintendo 3DS, a malfunction, if you want to call it that, that they are calling the black screen of death. I'm just going to jump right into the story and read it because the reporter is hilarious. Even more so than me. All right, so I just received the so-called Nintendo 3DS black screen of death, except it's only partially black. Covered with lots of perfectly legible words and looks more like the message Apple computers displays after a kernel panic. Call it the black screen of politely advising your handheld's demise then. The reporter goes on to say he is apparently not alone, and I will put up this link on our website probably later. You can check out all these reports from these other people. Reports trickled in yesterday, mostly on message boards of users receiving a screen that reads as follows. An error has occurred. Hold down the power button to turn off the power, then turn it on again and try again. If the problem persists, please contact your local customer support center. For contact details, check the operations manual or visit support.nintendo.com. Again, you know, these are just the first couple of things that are coming in. They can't actually verify or estimate how many of the people are having this issue. Apparently, there are random reports on message boards, Twitter, that full kind of thing. Again, the writer says, you know, like I said, it's happened on my review unit just once so far. I was dropping out of face raiders after clicking the home button. The home button puts whatever's active to sleep so you can tap around the user interface and launch other apps. It may be down to quirks in the launch software to hear Nintendo UK tell it. Their response to Now Gamer reads as follows. If anyone is experiencing any problems with their Nintendo 3DS console, we recommend that in the first instance, they download and install the latest system update now available online. If you're still having the error after your update, Nintendo advises you to contact your local Nintendo Support Service Center to investigate the problem further. The writer does say that they went ahead and pulled the new system update down, and everything seems to be running fine. The update adds a 3D video by band OK Go.
Which we already told you about up on the site if you've been mm-hmm. following.
But it does leave the internet browser disabled. So not quite for sure what's going on here, but if any of y'all have had issues with this, we've got a forum, GameNatrix.com. I'd love to hear about it. I don't have one yet. Thinking about dropping some money on it, but, you know, I'm not going to if there's some serious bugs. So head over there.
And we do have a lovely friend who's a rep, one of the reps for Nintendo. So we could always pass along a few words possibly for you.
Exactly. Or if you want to, you know, send me a video of you playing with it, preferably with your clothes on. That'd be great.
Hands above the desk, people.
Yes. It's Tuesday. It may be the morning, but it's too early to be seeing those.
Mm-mm-mm. Too early for Peter, Paul, Mary.
I don't want to see your Peter, your Paul, or your Mary. No. No, people, no.
Well, quickly, yesterday I did ask a question on Twitter about how Nintendo planned to combat the possibility of you being able to do what's called, I'm going to call secondhand porning, you know, where you don't actually have any porn on your 3DS, but the person next to you does, and it's 3D porn, and they have not gotten back to us yet. Our rep is actually saying he's going to check it out. So this is a damn good question. Yeah, so we'll let you know as soon as we hear back from them about that. However, in the meantime, Juicy, come close to this. Come close to your speaker. No, I'm kidding. Whisper. No, this is not that kind of juicy. Well, you guys know Trip Hawkins is the founder of EA and the CEO of social and mobile game maker Digital Chocolate apparently owes the Internal Revenue Service $20 million. Ouch. According to a Forbes report, Hawkins tried to use a personal bankruptcy to nullify the debt, but a judge rejected it. Dude, come on. U.S. District Court Judge Jeffrey S. White upheld a lower bankruptcy court ruling related to tax shelters Hawkins has used to hide the personal wealth he gained when founding EA 3 decades ago. Wow.
See, I told you EA is evil. Evil. Hello, EA. Send us your games.
Yes, that's going to earn us some points. Well, the UK people love us anyway, so that'll work.
You know what? They're the ones with the accents. They're the ones I care about.
That's what I'm talking about. The mm-hmm. EA, like the EA. EA UK, hello. Okay, so Judge White said in his ruling that Hawkins knew he was insolvent after the IRS disallowed his tax shelters but continued to spend more money extravagantly with the knowledge of his federal and state tax liabilities. The judge added that Hawkins planned to defeat his taxes via bankruptcy and continue living the lifestyle to which he had grown accustomed. You can read a decent account of Hawkins' case on a website called VentureBeat. Hello, guys. VentureBeat.com. It's a short story that, according to Forbes, Hawkins went out of his way to avoid paying his IRS debt and paid very little of his own bill while living his lifestyle. Again, this is from VentureBeat and the game politics.com. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
I'm not understanding this. In all honesty, we had $20 million. I have met a few millionaires here in Houston that I never knew they were millionaires until they told me, because they drove a raggedy car and they shopped at Old Navy.
And that is how people become millionaires. They are thrifty and they are smart and they save their money. They invest and they do good. All right, I'm off my soapbox.
Yeah, you don't spend your money unless you have Donald Trump money. Then it doesn't matter if you owe the IRS $20 million because it's like handing them $20. You say, here, whatever, go away.
Exactly. Exactly.
If all you got is $20 million, trust me, that is not enough.
Mm-mm, not enough, not enough at all.
Anyway, carry on, Ginger. Carry on.
Do you have a chlamydia?
No. What? Words for what you for that. You have the what?
Yeah, all right. This is Kim from GamePolitics.com this morning. check yourself, an anti-chlamydia campaign. Please, Corey, don't kill me. Welcome to Public Service Gaming. All right, so what the hell is that? Apparently, it's a game that is part of a campaign that teaches people about important issues. One such game teaches youngsters in London about sexually transmitted diseases and encourages them to get a free test. The game is called Check Yourself and is located at www.checkyourself.org.uk/game. In it, players shoot infected bunnies with antibiotics to treat whatever nasty diseases they have. It makes sense as rabbits like to do it, like, well, rabbits. Oh, my God. All right, so all kidding aside, they say, according to the site, 1 out of every 10 males in London has a sexually transmitted disease. That's a pretty scary statistic. I cannot talk this morning. Statistic, if you think about it. It's also sad because the most prevalent, and I've got an ad popping up, go away. Most prevalent STDs are treatable. Are treatable with antibiotics. The focus of this particular PSA is to point out the lows of having chlamydia. Here are some scary statistics. 1 in 4 people show no symptoms of chlamydia. It can cause sterility. And 1 in 10 Londoners between the ages of 16 and 24 have it.
Oh.
Ooh, that's not good. You people, condoms. Come on, condoms. The site also offers visitors a free way to get themselves checked. NHS is running a free self-checking service available to anyone in London between 16 and 24 who do not show symptoms of chlamydia. The process is simple, confidential, and easy. Users simply log on to checkyourself.org.uk, order a free testing kit, urinate in a bottle or take a swab, and send it off for a free test.
No.
Send you the results when complete. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I was okay right up until they said the free self-checking service. And I was thinking, you know what? I'm pretty sure guys have that covered. They self-check all the darn time. Yeah, all right. So I just lost this listeners in, what is it, China?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to try to pull my mind out of the gutter. Y'all know me. Good luck with that, right?
Interesting. Okay, so that just messed up Europe my whole morning. I don't know about you. Some people put their coffee cups down. They don't even like our little coffee mug says plus 20 energy. They're like, no.
Plus, all right, so
plus 85, I'm disgusted.
Oh, I'm not sorry.
That's nasty, Ginger. Anyway, I just got some interesting news from the world of EVE Online. Yay! Or actually, I have a video of their new, I guess it's an expansion pack called Future Vision. It's supposed to narrate where EVE is headed. And this is going to be quick, so I'm probably going to do 2, Ginger, because it's very short what they sent. It says it's for the grand vision of massive shared workspace where the real, visceral, and human interaction between players can have repercussions for dozens, hundreds, and even thousands of others. It's a short scene of one of the infinite possibilities for gameplay and the real consequences of a decisions a player makes. Growing EVE toward the future, this future vision is a bold endeavor we've been undertaking as a company on a global scale. The EVE universe has been evolving continuously since launch. There is no limit in sight for its expansion. I do love EVE. I just can't play it with Blaster. It's, yeah.
I've not played anything with him yet. I really need to.
Well, you see how he is in Second Life? Multiply that by a millionfold in EVE.
Mm. Me and him might get along. Yeah.
It's not a getting along thing. It's the big differences between men and women as far as gaming goes is not so much the games that we like, but the way we play them. Meaning, as women, we like to read everything. We want to know the story, what's going on, why, you know.
That's true.
And men are just like, let's go kill it. So he wants to go kill it, and I'm like, I am trying to read.
Why am I killing this again? Yeah.
Yeah, I want to know why I'm killing the marauders. Did they do something to me? Did they kill my family? What? And you don't need to know. Just kill it and collect the resources. Well, what do I do with the resources? I'll tell you. Well, if you'd let me read, I would probably know. So we went back and forth like that for about an hour before I said, you know what? You go to your side of the universe, and I'm going to be on this side. I'll be over here. Anyway, So that video for Eve is up on the front page of our site. And, oh, I cannot read that to you. That is French. I'm so sorry. you Rift people are probably going to be very, very excited when I share this with you.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. All Will Serve. Is the
All
name
Will
of the,
Serve?
Yeah, that's a new Rift trailer I'm about to put up. They're saying dark days lie ahead for the Talara as Alsbeth the Discordant leads hordes of undead and death-worshipping cultists on a march of total destruction from Free March to Stillmore and all zones in between beginning tomorrow. So y'all get ready. No taking off from work, though. I think we're a day early with this press release. We are, actually. that'll be March the 2nd. Hey, you got to slap embargo on here, people. So I'm telling you. We're telling you early. You heard it here first. You can witness a destruction from this particular trailer. We're going to, again, pop that up for you shortly. It's going to give you a sneak peek at the hordes awaiting the world of Alsbeth as you prepare for her assault on Soulstream. They're also saying the Rift Founders pricing has been extended until tomorrow. Definitely the real tomorrow. Information for all subscription plans, of course, is available at their website, riftgame.com. Subscriptions. Ow. But we'll have that video up for you. And I also have some other interesting things with raid descriptions and stuff we'll link you to. And some screenshots from that lovely thing. Y'all got to tell me embargo. They didn't. I'm just saying.
Yeah, they really should. And they don't always because, you know, they hired a monkey or something. They'll let the server squirrels take care of it.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
We've had to do that occasionally.
Occasionally.
We are the service squirrels, I think. No. Or maybe, possibly.
They don't know that.
No, they don't know.
Those of you who didn't get your guns on time, my bad. This monkey over here, me, I'm pointing to me. Probably.
No, it wasn't you.
All right. I'm going to jump in the middle of this because this is kind of hilarious. A new video game that requires you to abduct women and give them a reassuring slap if they freak out has gamers and women's rights groups crying foul. Brace yourself for the awfully sexist world of Duke Nukem Forever. Oh, my God. And you knew it was coming. Duke Nukem, you knew. All right, so this is coming from GamePolitics.com again this morning because, you know, I love you guys. Y'all gotta get the best news all the time. Mm-hmm. Fox News takes on Duke Nukem Forever's Capture the Babe mode.
I knew it was Fox before you said anything. I knew it was them.
Who else would it be, right? All right, so how could Fox News resist attacking Duke Nukem Forever? After all, it's a game aching to court controversy for reasons real or imagined. Fox News writers Jeremy A. Kaplan and Patrick Manning get together to take Gearbox to task for the multiplayer mode of the game Capture the Babe. The first line I read, that is their opening line about it. So brace yourself for comments from people who know nothing about the game, save the 10 minutes of video they found on YouTube. Jamia Wilson, vice president of the Women's Media Center, told FoxNews.com, and she's referring to the 1996 game from 3D Realms as well. It was offensive then, and it's even more offensive now. These depictions of women are extremely harmful, especially to young women. Because, you know, young women are going to be the people playing this game, right?
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm running out to buy a copy right now.
Exactly. All right, so how are they harmful? She does not elaborate. Imagine that. But I suspect she believes that men will get together to recreate this game in real life. Because, you know, gamers, we're all vicious and horrible and lewd. We might be lewd. I think I can agree to that one.
We are lewd.
As ludicrous as it sounds, what she really believes based on cursory research of the game is probably far worse. That somehow this kind of in-game activity has some sort of real-world consequence. At least she did not say it causes rape. OXM describes the mode as more goofy than offensive. As the ESRB points out to Fox News, the game is rated M for mature, so you shouldn't be giving this to young kids to be playing anyways. Young boys shouldn't be playing this. Young girls shouldn't be playing this. It should be adults. Adults who understand fantasy and that it's a game. This game carries a mature rating, indicating that it's intended for ages 17 and up, and retailers overwhelmingly enforce their store policies, requiring that M-rated games not be sold to a customer under that age without a parent's consent. This is coming from Elliot Mizrachi, a spokesman for the ESRB. I think Corey could probably disagree with some of these things about the games being not sold to children.
Yeah, but that's less of the ESRB's mm-hmm. fault about the selling and more the retailer.
Mm-hmm, exactly. In the article that appeared in OXM, Gearbox Software's Randy Pitchford defended the new mode. Our goal isn't to shock people. Nah, all right, I don't totally believe that. But I think there's some stuff that'll be just a bit uncomfortable, he said. We try to get right up to that edge and then relax enough so people don't reject it. Yeah, I'm not going to totally believe that they're not doing it for shock value because, come on, us gaming people, we're kind of trolls. We kind of do that for the shock value. It's what we do. But no, all right, come on, people. It's a game. Don't let your kids play it, and you won't have any issues. You don't want to play it? Don't buy it.
They're probably exposing it to more children than the actual people by jumping.
Exactly.
I'm telling you, we need somebody to step up. Come on.
With a baseball bat to their head.
Hey, sharper than China.
I said heads. Baseball heads.
What was the baseball bat part? Well, I bet some people in China are right about now wishing they had a baseball bat. Oh, Jesus, people. Oh, what are we going to do with some of you Fox News people? Yeah, I think I'm going to stage a protest outside Fox News. Okay. So other interesting... What's wrong with the people? Where's my... okay, thank you. I lost my page. Okay, I'm moving along because, yeah, Fox News. I refuse to give them any attention.
Yeah, Fox News, you guys, no, take your little right... All right, never mind. Soapbox. I'll write about it later, y'all.
Well, those of you who visit Metacritic religiously will be either happy or sad to find that they have disabled their developer career scores. Metacritic has pulled controversial ratings from its site that scored individual developers out of 100 based on their contributions to the games. That's tacky, Metacritic. The site collates aggregate scores for games and review sites, and this latest move was in conjunction with information gathered by sister site GameFAQs.com, but admitted information was not as complete as it needs to be. Said, although our credit database, which is powered by our sister site, GameFAQs, is growing, as our users' feedback has indicated, it is a work in progress and is not nearly as comprehensive as it needs to be to accurately provide a career score for these individuals. As such, we've removed the career score from the pages dedicated to creative individuals behind games on Metacritic. And this is from the company's official blog. Many developers had complained about the relevancy, legality, and methodology of the move by the site, which is regarded as a barometer of taste and is also used by publishers to negotiate bonuses with development staff. Despite pulling the scoring system from its site, Metacritic still believes it's a feature worth perusing and is likely to return in the future. In addition to creating dedicated pages for corporate publishers and developers on a given game's details and credits page, Metacritic displays those individual people who contributed to the games in our database, including designers, programmers, producers, voice actors, and artists. In turn, we have produced dedicated pages for those individuals featuring their games and associated beta scores, and until today, their individual career scores. We're still very much committed to building a credits database and welcome your participation in that process, said the site. I think this was a good idea that went horribly bad.
Yeah.
I agree that you should be putting up information about everybody who had their hand in the game. What they should not be is scored.
That is true.
It's that's an awful, stupid idea. It does have to do with taste. If somebody doesn't like a game, obviously they're going to go over and not give them a good score. And even, dare I say, if we were reviewing the game, we might say, you know, so-and-so developer didn't do a good job. That doesn't mean the next game that they make isn't going to do fantastic.
That is very true. That is very true. Everybody starts somewhere.
Yeah, so I hope they don't bring it back. I don't think it's smart. It's not smart business, and especially with as crazy as people are.
There are some crazy people out there, too.
That would be like putting up the names of everybody that worked on a bad movie. You know, some people would be crazy enough to go look for them and try to do stuff to them. I'm just saying, you know. Idiotic idea, Metacritic. Sorry.
All right, I'm going to not do one that has to do with, you know, slapping women or chlamydia this time. Festival of Games. Yeah, yay, more parties. Festival of Games uses the Force to explore past and future industry success with LucasArts and IHS Screen Digest. Looking back and forward, I'm going to lose my voice.
Uh-oh.
I know, true story. Allergies in Texas, they're killing me. Mm. All right, so looking back and forward has never been so entertaining and informative as at the same time. During the Festival of Games on April 28th and 29th, Mary Burr, I hope I'm saying your name right, I'm sorry if I'm not, female industry veteran at LucasArts, will discuss what it takes to build one of the world's most beloved brands, Star Wars, in the video game industry. Meanwhile, Ed Barton, senior analyst at IHS Screen Digest, will take a data-driven look at how the game sector is making the jump from a packaged product-based business to a digital-led opportunity, examining the opportunities and evolutionary hurdles that sector faces during this transition. All right, so who is Mary Burr? She's been credited in a number of titles, including massive franchises such as Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Secret Monkey Island, Star Wars The Force Unleashed, as Vice President of Global Publishing for Lucasfilm's video game arm. Mary oversees LucasArts World Publishing Initiatives.
Ginger, did we lose you?
I hit the mute. No, I'm here.
Did you hit the mute on yourself?
Okay. I did. I don't know how I managed that. Smart.
Live show.
Okay, and it doesn't help. Seriously, Texas weather, decide what you're going to do. This whole blooming and not blooming, cold and hot, no, you're killing me. All right, so since its early days, the vision of LucasArts has always been to create interactive entertainment experiences that surprise, amaze, and inspire. When Mary first joined the company, she helped bring to market early adventure games, including the Secret Monkey Island franchise and the first two Star Wars franchises, X-Wing and Rebel Assault. Is it break time? What is that music? All right, she oversaw the preparation of marketing materials for worldwide use and served on the IDSA committee that standardized PC packaging in the United States. She launched the first CD-ROM and talkie games, the first Indiana Jones game, and the first games to debut on the IBM, Nintendo, Sega, Sony, and Microsoft console platforms. Wow, she's amazing. I actually like to meet her, I think. That sounds kind of cool.
I think that I have met her, I think.
I bow to you. You meet all the cool people.
I think I bow to her. I think there was, when I talk about, I met the gaming royalty years ago, I did. I curtsied to them. The women, they're awesome.
So jealous. And this keeps going on for many more paragraphs, and I'm sure y'all don't want to hear about it, but let me go on into the Festival of Games. The Festival of Games takes place on April 28th through the 29th, 2011.
My birthday.
Yay! Utrecht, year checked. I probably said that wrong. I'm sorry. In the Netherlands, the 2010 event attracted over 2,000 visitors with 180 companies from 25 countries. The Festival of the Games is the most effective games industry event that combines conference, the international matchmaking event called Pitch and Match, a business expo for trade visitors, and the largest game industry career fair of Europe. The conference in 2011 is powered by GameIndustry.biz and Gamer.nl. I cannot talk. All right, so, again, the 28th to the 29th, I'm looking to see if they have a website for you to sign up at, but I'm not seeing anyone or seeing anywhere or any kind of prices. So if you're interested in that, I guess you could probably head over to gamesindustry.biz or gamer.nl. They probably have a link. And for those of you in the Netherlands, have fun. This sounds something kind of like what I would want to go to, except that, you know, it's in the Netherlands, and that's cold and far away and expensive.
Cold and far away and expensive.
Now, if you want to send me a plane ticket, I will be there.
Hint, Netherlands.
Mm-hmm. We'll bring our Texas. We'll bring some tea. We'll bring some biscuits. We'll have a good old barbecue. I promise it won't be goat.
Yeah, because she's been trying to get me with the goat.
Right, girl. Good.
Well, we got some crazy stuff going on again. BT hates us. So this is your last chance to enter the Dare to be Digital competition if you are an amateur developer. aspiring games industry professionals have until Sunday this week, the 3rd of April, to enter the Dare to Be Digital 2011, the world's leading computer games design competition. We do have that up on our site, the link, so you have everything you need at that the very first link there at the top of the article, daretobedigital.com/applications/apply.php. Teams of five are going to take part in the contest to design and build a fully working game, with industry mentors providing invaluable training and oversight throughout the 9 weeks of the University of Abertay in Dundee. The winners then compete for the unique BAFTA Ones to Watch Award. Students from universities and colleges of art can apply. If you're still looking for team members, you can also visit the website as well. Dr. Lewis Nattinson, who's the Academic Director of Institute of Arts, Media, and Computer Games at Dare to Be Digital organizer, Abertay University, wow, that was all one sentence, has said that we're down to the last week of entries and we're strongly encouraging students who are excited about computer games and want to break into the industry to apply now. Dare to Be Digital is a life-changing experience for many young developers, artists, and audio engineers, giving them money can't buy access to personal mentoring from some of the world's leading game companies. Elaine Russell, who's Dare to Be Digital's project manager, added that Dare to Be Digital is great fun every year, and working in an incredibly competitive and exciting environment helps all the students to develop their personal professional skills way beyond what they arrive with. Just a few short weeks, we see very promising students turn into polished, confident young games industry professionals. Again, you can go and check that out at their site. The link is up on our site if you want to check that out there, or you can go to daretobedigital.com for more information. Yay!
That does sound like fun. Yeah, I wish I were that talented. Not quite. All right, so quite a ways, not that. Anyways, George Hotz. You know him.
Again?
Yeah, him again. This is coming from GamePolitics.com, because, you know, they're like one of my favorites. PS3 jailbreaker battles for motion to dismiss SCEA case. Hotz, what are you doing, dude? In new court documents filed by PS3 jailbreaker George Hotz attorney Stuart Keller, asked that the court ignore recent SCEA filings that makes claims about Hotz running to South America, owning a PlayStation Network account, and deliberately removing data from hard drives submitted to a third party for inspection by the court. Keller also asked the court to deny SCEA jurisdiction in California. Yeah, good luck with that, dude. Both Keller's arguments are found in this PDF file, which you can find over on GamePolitics.com. But the main thrust of it is that SCEA does not own or create the hardware and firmware that it alleges Hotz tampered with. That distinction belongs to Sony Japan.
Oh, okay. Out of jurisdiction. Ooh.
They also call into question the power of the PlayStation Network's term of service, claiming that Hotz never used the service at all. In fact, Keller claims Hotz never accepted the PSN TOS and that Sony has no evidence to prove otherwise.
Oh, he's got good lawyers. Nice.
Yes, he does. Very nice, Hotz. Very nice. You may not be such an idiot after all, or at least you got good lawyers who aren't.
Wow.
There are many other arguments that Keller makes in the PDF, but if you're too lazy to read it, Grocklaw has a great summary of everything going on in the case with these latest filings. Below is Keller's closing argument to the court. For the foregoing reasons, plaintiff respectfully requests the court to sustain these objections and to strike the testimony referred to above. Further, the court cannot rely on this declaration as it is not made under penalty of perjury and because it is intentionally attempted to hide relevant evidence from the court by not showing the serial number that SCEA actually found in its database, which does not match the serial number of the PlayStation computer owned by Mr. Hotz.
Oh.
Oh, that's good. Oh, this is going to be a good fight. This is really getting good, man. I thought Hotz was going to get spanked, but, you know, this turn of events.
Oh.
He might actually weasel his way out of this.
Boss battle.
Oh, wow. All right, Hotz. I still think you're an idiot, but you got good lawyers.
Goddamn good lawyers. Oh, out of jurisdiction he may actually get. That's...
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, way to go, everybody who donated money to this guy, because apparently it went to getting actually good lawyers.
I'm impressed.
Now, Hots, just stop making videos, okay? Every time you make one of those stupid videos or you do something stupid, I have to side with the court and Sony. And, you know, I hate that. So please stop being stupid.
He needs to go and get himself a nice haircut, get yourself a nice suit, and just shut up. Just be quiet. Mm-hmm. The women are going to think you're hot, and Sony's going to say, maybe this boy knows what he's doing. Clean it up, dude. Come on. Mm-hmm. Anyway, appearance is everything, unfortunately, in the real world. We know in gamer world, it doesn't matter. Yeah, gamer world doesn't matter, but in the real world, you got to look nice when you go to court.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here is another interesting piece of news. This comes from our friends, Game Politics. Hi, guys. A Tampa student is pleading guilty to his school plot charges. According to reports, between March and July 2010, the student, gosh, I hate to say his name, but hey, he's over 18, Austin James Cook, was sentenced to 2 years of community control intensive, which is called intensive supervised house arrest, and 8 years probation for his plot back in August to kill all faculty and students at Lato High School in Tampa, Florida.
No, wait, hold on. He got house arrest for that?
Well, actually, solicitation to commit murder. The charge was dropped. The general consensus was that Cook committed conspiracy to commit murder, but he didn't take a charge for that. Again, according to the reports, between March and July of last year, Cook solicited someone to murder any and all employees or the student body of Lato High School. He also bragged to several unnamed witnesses that he's planned to blow up Lato High School and told one witness that he wanted to break the record of the Columbine and Virginia Tech killings.
And he gets house arrest for this.
Yeah, because he didn't actually go through with it. When they searched his residence, they found a .22 caliber rifle, a bow and arrow, several books about firearms, and a computer with a Columbine High School video game. So, of course, we assume the computer game in question was a Super Columbine Massacre, of course, an RPG Maker game that is freely available on multiple sites on the web.
Great. Let's blame the game for the guy having mental issues.
Mm-hmm. Of course, the game taught him how to do the stuff that he's planning on doing. Did not. Tacky game, but can't really blame them. He's obviously mentally ill. When asked in 2010, several witnesses said that they thought that Cook was saying was a joke, and they did not think he was serious. Eventually, one of those witnesses called Crime Stoppers hotline to alert the police. Thank God they did. According to the terms of his plea agreement, Cook is under a 10 p.m., 7 a.m. curfew unless working or in school, must attend weekly therapy session, must attend anger management classes, and must stay 5,000 feet from Lato High School on all sides. And he also must avoid consuming music, movies, television, and more that may contain content that advocates violence or makes homicidal or suicidal suggestions. The last condition seems a bit over the top and unenforceable, unfortunately. That means he can't.
It does seem that way. They're not going to be able to enforce that. You know how you could enforce that? Put the guy in a padded room where he needs to go.
He's obviously disturbed, and it had nothing to do with the game. And I also want to add this, because I hear this a lot. An incident happened last week. Actually, I meant to talk about this on the show. Some of you out there hear people say they're going to do things. They're going to kill somebody. They're going to shoot them. And you say, oh, we thought it was a joke. Never assume it's a joke, ever. Don't ever assume the person is joking. As soon as they mention it, you need to be calling the police and having their ass picked up.
Mm-hmm.
And those of you who do say it as a joke, be aware, if you say it in my presence, your ass is going to jail. Yes, I'm saying this daytime. You're going to jail standing in my presence saying you're going to harm anybody. It is not a joke. Harm anybody, I should say, beyond using your fist to punch them in the face. If you start talking about guns and blowing up people, do not take that as a joke. It was an incident where a friend saw somebody say something like that on Facebook, was threatening to kill a bunch of people here in Houston, and I says, why are you talking to me, and why are you not on the phone with the police? Because what if he goes through with it?
Mm-hmm.
You have to live with the rest of your life knowing you could have prevented that, but you chose not to because you assumed he was joking. Never assume they're joking.
Never assume your friends who you think are stable are stable.
Mm-hmm.
Because you think you know them doesn't mean they are. Everybody's a little bit crazy.
And yeah.
Sometimes you snap and you do stupid stuff.
Mm-hmm. So don't assume. Always call the police.
Always
let somebody know. Anyway, it is. We got 4 minutes to break. You think you can squeeze one in before we take our break?
Yeah, I think I can get this one in.
Woof, woof.
How my finger saved a species.
You know, you've been dirty all day.
I know, right? It's great. Hungry Monsters, available on iTunes now for iPhone and iPod Touch. Hungry Monsters is a unique bounce-em-up game. The fate of many cute monsters is in your hands, or rather, your finger. Oh my god. Save as many monsters as you can by drawing lines to bounce them and feed them before the lava gets too high and cooks them by the dozen. Hungry Monsters is a fun, addictive, hectic arcade game with oh-so-simple, innovative, and unique one-finger gameplay. Perfectly tailored for the iPhone and iPod Touch. Oh, I'm trying to keep a straight face. Really, I am. Monster Slink cute graphics, fun for all ages. Trampoline gameplay, unique on a touchscreen device. Endless challenge for high-score junkies. Heart-pounding escapes. And nail-biting last-moment monster rescues. Multiple food types that modify the gameplay in fun and exciting ways. All right, so this is developed by Beep Blip Games, a fresh-out-of-the-box two-man iOS development team based in Northern Ireland. Hungry Monsters has perfectly bite-sized gameplay with infinite replay value, fun and appealing to all gamers. Feed your Hungry Monsters with a range of foods and special items until they are about to burst or risk them being burned to a crisp. A catchy soundtrack and vibrant visuals will keep you coming back for more. The world of Hungry Monsters now awaits for your arrival. Hungry Monsters is available now on the App Store for 99 cents, 59 pounds, francs, cents, whatever, something, 79, whatever the little C thing is. Yeah, okay. So anyway, it costs money. iTunes link. I'm not going to give you that because it's really long, but you can head over to the iTunes Apple Store right now and look for Hungry Monsters.
Actually, you know what? I made a promise yesterday to some lovely people that I was going to mention their game, so I'm going to do that really quickly. Actually, it's the one you have, Ginger, Cannon Fodder, that launched yesterday on the iPhone Apple Store.
I'll talk to you about that one later.
Oh, they're calling themselves the worst game ever for PlayStation Mini. There's just no stopping the crazies at iFun for All, with a singular goal of creating the worst video game of all time. The Hungarian hack developers are following up on the release of Paper Wars Cannon Fodder on both the PlayStation 3 Entertainment System and PSP systems, with a version created specifically for the iPhone and iPad, which launched actually yesterday. They're saying Paper Wars Cannon Fodder is truly a terrible tower defense genre-based game filled with hokey, amateurish graphics and off-key, ear-wrenching music that is well on its way to fulfilling their goal. You can find this up on the Apple iTunes Store or read Ginger's review later on. Doesn't sound good, Ginger, but at least it looks like
No. I would love to review it.
Yes.
If I could get it to work on my phone.
Uh-oh. So... You people over at iFunForAll, we're working on it. anyway, you can find it on the Apple iTunes Store. We are about to take a break and, of course, go into the streaming portion of our morning newscast. So that means you'll have to download to hear the rest. And you can always find this news and more news at GameAndEatTricks.com or GamerGirlsRadio.com. Lunch with Corey and Ginger. You can find us there. Let me give you a little bit of this for Ginger.
Yes, it's my song. I love you, Corey.
Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'ma love you so. From your big round bottom to the top of your boat. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'ma love you so. From your big round bottom to the top of your boat. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. 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 Hey ho, hey ho, hey ho, hey ho, hey ho. Baby, I'm in love with you.
When I first saw you eating those dots in that maze, I knew you were no ordinary yellow circle.
Baby, I'm in love with you.
Mean, colorful ghosts will try to stop you, but you just keep on eating those dots, because you will always be Miss Pac-Man, and that is why I love you.
Oh, no.
And break!
Yay! We're back! Miss Pac-Man, baby, I love you so.
From your big round bottom to the top of your boat.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. Totally, totally love Miss Pac-Man baby. Ah. All right, so whose turn? Is it my turn, your turn, somebody's turn?
It's I don't know.
All right, well, I'm going to jump in then. Oh, yeah, it is my turn, because you did the last little short one before the break.
I did, indeed.
You did. It's my turn. All right, GamePolitics.com again, because they are wonderful. They have excellent news. School kid reports on game addiction, phones, Nintendo. Yeah.
Well,
as part of an
help.
Very talented child, actually. I'm hoping there's a video. I'm going to at least try to find it. As part of an annual BBC project where school kids get to produce their own news reports, William, a last name not provided, from Tyndareen Technology College in Essex, decided to research video game addiction. So what did his research entail? Interviews with his school guidance counselor, which says it's estimated that 3 out of 5 of all under 16s actually have some sort of addiction to a gaming machine. A classmate who says, I play video games, usually 6 or 7 hours per day because there's so much to do. That's what average people do. It's not like 30 or 40 years ago when people used to play outside. Oh, my God. Oh, who am I to talk? And his mom, game addiction does not affect family life. Or, sorry, does affect family life. Yes, because it's a struggle to get you out of your room. Oh, and he phoned Nintendo UK's head of communications, Robert Saunders, who told him, we haven't at Nintendo received any complaints directly in the UK on game addiction, but we are aware of it. It's potentially an issue for all people who play video games, or indeed anybody who picks up any hobby and starts to fixate on it obsessively. I may be a little bit obsessive about my gaming. You touch my computer, I'll cut you. Saunders went on to say that Nintendo advises all players to take a 15-minute break after every hour of play and asks parents to supervise their kids' gaming habits. Yes, parents, gaming is not a babysitter. William concluded games are fun, but if you spend too much time on them, they can cause serious problems, like your mom having to drag your uncooperative butt out of your room to spend time with the family. There is a video, and it's over at BBC News right now. So you can head over to news.bbc.co.uk and look for it. I'm actually going to see if I can't find it on YouTube and get it up on our website.
I'm trying to clear my throat. Yeah.
I always love to see talented children. Even so, it's harping on gaming addiction. I would usually grumble, but there's a point, and he's right. And the mom's got a point. The counselor has a point. The child who he interviewed with 6 to 7 hours a day. Holy crap. I was in school. Gaming was the last thing on my mind.
Oh, why are his parents not, you know, why are they not,
because
why are they letting him play?
Because he's a cheap babysitter.
Actually,
it's cheaper to. Well, think about it. Say, you know, if you were to pay for a full-time babysitter for your child, full-time, you'd be paying more than the $50 a week to buy a brand new game. It's cheaper.
Well,
than
at least get them a Kinect or Wii or something so they're moving around. I mean,
exactly.
Something.
Exactly.
Or tell them, hey, here, kid, here's your new 3DS if it doesn't have the black screen of death, and head on outside, go sit on the porch, get some air. Okay. So, of course, one of my favorite game companies is making history, as they always do. Rockstar Games says their new groundbreaking title is the first ever video game in history to be selected at the world-renowned Tribeca Film Festival. Is that not amazing?
That is amazing.
Rockstar Games, who is the publishing label of Take-Two Interactive Software and Team Bondi Party Limited, are excited to announce that L.A. Noire has been honored as an official selection at the 2011 Tribeca Film Festival. The selection, of course, marks the first time ever that a video game has even been recognized by this particular festival. They're quoted as saying, "We're thrilled that L.A. Noire is being recognized by the Tribeca Film Festival in this way." This is from Sam Hauser, who's the founder of Rockstar Games. He says it's a real honor and another step forward for interactive entertainment. Rockstar Games will also present an exclusive preview of L.A. Noire as part of the Tribeca Talk series taking place on April the 25th, 2011. The presentation will feature a live interactive screening of a case from L.A. Noire, followed by a Q&A exploring the crossover between filmmaking and interactive entertainment. The Q&A will focus on the making of L.A. Noire, the technology behind it, the story, and the action in this medium, and will be moderated by Jeff Gilmore, who's the Tribeca
Tribeca Enterprises Chief Creative Officer. What Rockstar and Team Bondi have accomplished with L.A. Noire is nothing less than groundbreaking, added Gilmore. It's an innovative invention of a new realm of storytelling that is part cinema, part gaming, and a whole new realm of narrative expression, interactivity, and immersion. We're poised on the edge of a new frontier, and I knew it would be them that would do it. I've been saying that for years. I love you, Rockstar. I just need a woman in the lead just once.
yes, finally.
I need one of these games to have a female lead. It could talk about groundbreaking. You could do some stuff you can't do with the guys. For more information, of course, you can check out rockstargames.com/LA Noir. There's some trailers up, I believe, we have as well as some information if you're looking to learn more about LA Noir. And I am trying not to look at it because I'm still addicted to GTA 4. So I know if I look at this one, it's going to be really bad. I will be like that kid playing for 8 hours a day.
Oh, no, y'all cannot have her for 8 hours a day. I need it. I need it. I need her. I need her. Sorry, as you don't go. Don't go.
L.A. Noir.
L.A. Noir. All right. And I just totally lost the story that I had. That's always fun.
I should love when that happens.
So I'm just going to skip to another one. I haven't even read this one, so I don't know what it's about. GamePolitics.com, because, you know, they've always got great stuff. NPD to analyst, loose lips sink ships. Oh, yes, baby. In the last year, research firm NPD Group has drawn a curtain of secrecy on its retail and digital sales data. As a result, journalists no longer have access to hard numbers. Now journalists must rely on the kindness of hardware manufacturers, publishers, and the NPD's general top 10 list to
Very
figure
true.
Out to figure out what the top-selling games are from month to month. Analysts enjoy more access to the data, but it looks like NPD is tightening security even among that class. An email from NPD Executive Director of Client Development, Daniel De Pinho, to Wedbush industry analyst Michael Pachter of Wedbush, says NPD would appreciate it if you and your teams refrain from providing any of our games data directly to the media. This includes live discussions, emails, and or notes. In some cases, you may have to remove the media from your distribution list. Should the media take issue with this, you can feel free to send them my contact information, and I can connect them with the appropriate NPD representative.
How
yeah,
interesting.
That sounds kind of... Yeah, I'm not going to use a word on there. Naturally, Pachter released the email to the public, but also said that he would comply with NPD's latest request. The main reason NPD has applied all these restrictions in the last year is because it wants to sell its data to clients in the video game industry.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. Yeah, NPD, me and you, round and round. By keeping stuff like unit sales under wraps, the company has an easier time getting clients to buy its research data. I can see both sides, but I'm going to tell you, you can suck my big toe. Perhaps NPD has forgotten that it was the media that put them on the map in the first place. If websites like GameSpot, IGN, and more hadn't regularly featured NPD numbers on a weekly, monthly, and yearly basis, where would they be? Yeah, NPD, where would you be? Interestingly, a follow-up statement to Gamasutra from NPD tries to paint a different picture. Update. Contacted by Gamasutra, NPD Group said that the organization is not trying to freeze out the media by taking control of the monthly data. The company explained its stance in an email statement. We have heard from our clients and retail partners that NPD information is increasingly out of the public domain without proper attribution, incorrect context, and in other ways that it is not best that is not in the best interest of our clients or the industry. It is our responsibility and right to manage the usage of that information, and our financial service clients have agreed to help us and the industry in this regard. The statement added, there was no warning issued at all. We are not freezing out the media as it has been portrayed. Instead, we are looking to work even more directly with the media than we already do to ensure our information and insights are used responsibly. here, let me help you out. You're not NASA. You're not Area 51.
Yes, this is information that the general public likes to know. We want to know how well our favorite games sold and which ones are the top game. What's everybody playing?
You're not WikiLeaks. You're not, oh, my gosh, people.
I tell you what's going to end up happening is a lot of us journalists are going to start our own little organization where we go directly to the game companies and freeze you out because we can get the information from them for free. They'd love to tell us.
Exactly.
Oh, people, please.
Yeah, so apparently there is more to the story over at GammaSutra.com, which we also love, if you'd like to head over there and read the whole thing. MPD? No. Ma'am, no sir, no.
No way, no how. Well, you guys know our favorite MMO, God Storia, the Bible Online. So they now have a war simulator available. FIAA, who's the developer, has announced the remarkable growth of God Storia's weekly active users, namely around 40% growth compared to last week. The German publisher is celebrating the recent growth of new players by introducing the long-awaited war simulator. Also, God Storia is up with a new feature to differentiate between friendly, neutral, and hostile players on the map. The new map feature with its option to filter will enhance the convenience within the game, says Peter Werman, the game manager at FIAA. That's one hell of a name. He added new players will also profit from the war simulator. The simulator will also help the veteran users to plan a detailed war strategy and will provide another depth to the game. This war simulator is expected to intensify the strategic aspect of the MMORTS, is what it is. God Storia is currently available in two languages, English and German, neither of which I speak well. FIAA announced the Spanish and Polish servers will be available during March, and further languages such as French, Italian, and Russian will follow. You can check out I need to tell you what it's about. The Bible Online is the first browser-based on the scenario of the Bible. It is an MMO browser game with elements of RTS and RPG. As the leader of your tribe, players have to construct their villages, manage resources, and the budget. It's your task to protect your tribe and conquer new lands. Playing the role of Abraham and his descendants, users also lead their tribe and raise heroes through hunting and gathering experiences. I'm glad they did hunting and gathering. Key features of God Storia, because you've heard us talk about it, but we never tell you what it's about. It's, of course, browser-based. You build villages and develop conquer and defend tribes. You raise your character and compete against other users. There's quests, of course, according to the stories of Genesis, a chat system, a birthright system. That sounds interesting. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and is compatible to most current browsers. You can find out more about God Storia or play it at godstoria.com. And guess what, Ginger?
It is that time.
It's time to go. It's time to go.
It is time to go. We've been here with you all hour, people, a whole hour.
See?
You've got to hear our wonderful voices, and, you know, I've got to crack you up, and we've got to laugh, and Corey got to call me dirty.
Flower. Wow, and my phone's ringing. Let's hope that's the info about 3DS. But,
saying that they're going to send us some 3DSs, right? Right,
not the question that we asked. They're like, no, we don't want those girls touching our hardware. What?
Come on, Nintendo. You know you want us to touch your hardware.
We'll see you guys bright and early tomorrow.
Later, guys. And that, again, is PDP Girl. Head over and check her out. It's PDP Girl, right?